This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm joined by with Victor Yap from Amans.net.
Hello, hello.
Because we are doing a roundup of July. Now, we're starting off first with the Mobile World Congress Shanghai 2015.
Yeah, that is the inaugural Shanghai event for Mobile World Congress. It's the Asian arm, basically.
Correct. A lot of Internet of Things devices were shown.
Yeah.
There were a lot of devices as well, you know, smartphone devices. But I felt like I was there. There were a lot of smartphones that were basically made for, you know, the
for China market.
You know?
Right.
So it's
that's
not
right.
really something that will trickle down here.
Hard to say,
in Malaysia. You never know. But
yeah.
you, when I asked them, they said they have no plans yet. You know, depending on situations might change, you know.
Mm.
And then Visa was there. So, but let's go through some of the things that, you know, you thought was interesting.
Yeah, like what you said just now, there's more Internet of Things stuff, right? So besides the phones and wearables, we see things like the WinPet. It's an augmentation device for pet communication.
Oh,
talk
yeah.
to your dogs and everything, your cats as well. Of course, not talk exactly per se.
Yeah.
More like they'll let you know that they're feeling down or they need food. And the system will tell you, based on their sounds and their temperament,
uh-huh.
the app will tell you, hey, you need to feed your pet. Like, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. I think I saw it as well. I was walking past through the booth and I'm like, oh, that's actually very cool, you know, because I know a lot of pet lovers and, you know, they always try to, you know, understand what your dog is trying to say.
Yeah, that's right.
So that would be very cool.
Yeah, and probably you can be your own house calling vet in a way.
It could be the pet whisperer.
Oh, you.
Secretly the pet whisperer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe.
And then there was also this smart water bottle.
Oh, yes.
And then there was this smart ring.
Oh, those things were, I think, more novelty than anything else.
Yeah.
The water bottle basically tells you the purity of the water, the temperature, what are the mineral contents and so on, right? And what it does is, if it's optimum for you to drink, that's what it'll tell you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is it also alerts you like, hey, it's time to drink water. It links to your app on the Bluetooth. So like, okay, you know, you're going about your day, forgetting to drink water, and then the app will alert you, it's time to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You just pop the bottle open and you drink.
There was one booth that I stumbled was Oral-B. They had
Oral-B?
Yeah. So they had the smart toothbrush.
Okay.
Which basically is connects to Bluetooth on your phone.
Right.
And it will tell you how your brush strokes were, which part, you know, you focused more on.
Wow.
And then it will even tell you, you know, that when you start brushing, it will give you 30 seconds to brush in one area. It will show you on a video on your app, on your phone. So you brush like this now, and then it will stop for 30 seconds, and it will tell you you stop, and then you rotate to the other side of the teeth for another 30 seconds.
What?
And then when the counter goes on, and you go on. So apparently, if you follow the steps on the phone when you start brushing your teeth, you will have, you know, perfectly cleaned your teeth using, you know, the app, the Bluetooth toothbrush.
Have you tried it?
No. It's a bit risky to try it in a conference, you know, with so many people there, right?
Oh, you
so,
just wash it clean, right? And then you can brush.
No, you don't share toothbrush, even though you clean it. No. So they were trying it on like a dummy teeth.
Right.
So like, I thought that was a bit interesting. Knowing that, you know, smart toothbrush, why would you want to have a Bluetooth device in your toothbrush, right?
Yeah.
And that's so weird. Like, and then I found out, you know, they want to do this and that. And also I thought, okay, you know, maybe it makes sense because, you know, you never really know how you brush your teeth in the morning.
There's the next generation, what you call motorized toothbrush.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you only move in a certain way and all that.
Yeah.
And this the other one I saw, it was like this iris scanner for mobile payments.
Oh.
So basically, instead of using your thumbprints and all that,
use your eyes.
The
iris,
so I thought that was still very in the early stage of development because even they were showing it how it works and all. So there's one area where they scan your iris.
Mm.
And then after that, you go into the next area where it will demonstrate how you can use that iris that you scanned already to make a payment, right? So they make like a mock-up supermarket cashier.
Okay.
So they've got a few stuff there, and you register what, you know, barcode that you want to pay for, and then you use your eyes to scan the thing.
Does it feel like a James Bond film?
It does, but it felt so scary that I'm using my eyes to scan this thing. What if the laser suddenly doesn't person. So I always had that fear of like, oh my god, like, you know, this is a bit too risky. I think it's probably a bit too new as well in the market. So maybe that's why I thought it's a bit so meh. But Visa was there.
Payment system as well.
So they showed their payment system, and I think you guys did a story on that.
Yeah.
As well. So
basically, it's from what my boss went. And he wrote the story, and I just translated it. But from what I read, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a car paying for everything as you go from your gas to your drive-thrus, right?
Parking.
Yeah, parking. Mm. You don't even have to take out your wallet or the coins. Everything is done. Only thing is that my concern would be the security aspect of it.
You know,
because if it's wireless, I can hack your car wirelessly.
Yeah. You know, there's just a report recently, right, about, you know, the Wired journalists who, you know, the two hackers demonstrated how they hacked into a Jeep.
Jeep I read Cherokee's that one. Yeah, yeah.
Vehicle.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's...
There's the risk there.
That's the risk there.
Yeah, correct.
You know? Whenever something gets connected to the internet, it's always risky.
Correct.
But I thought that was cool still, you know. And it's actually running... So I found out a bit more because I managed to interview Greg Story. He's the head of Visa products for Asia-Pacific, you know. And he's one of the guys who were doing this connected car. They called it the Visa connected car. And he was saying that, you know, this is all running on the back end, which is Visa checkout itself, right?
So okay.
Using their online pass.
So basically it's like the PayPass thing, right?
Yeah, so right. Basically it's on that. So now they're just enabling it on so many more devices. It's not just on mobile phones or on online devices and all that. It's also on cars, right? But the next step now is to get the automakers to like get in to buy into this thing. You know, they have to be the one to enable it. You know, Visa is just showing that this is a concept that works. It is up to, you know, people like BMW or Hyundai or Mercedes and say that, you know what, for the next batch of my new model, I'm going to have, you know, Visa checkout inside my entertainment system. So.
But I think also it's more than just automakers. Imagine, right, you drive through a toll, like those touch-and-go tolls, the smart tag tolls, right? Everything's integrated in the car. That means the sensor has to be either on the road surface or at the top.
Yeah.
And you detect straight away,
I guess,
right?
It's like, you know, when it comes to, you know, places for like, you know, like tolls or petrol kiosks and, you know, payment parking toll systems and all that, I think that one still requires a lot more of, you know, the other side of the vendors to really come in and, you know, really be supportive of this just to open up gates for more avenues of you to pay your stuff, right? But I think the core of it is, again, the car, right? So the car has to also enable it in a way.
Yeah, to drive the thing forward.
Yeah.
Unintended.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, talking about, you know, driving things forward, Malaysia has secured a spot at the world finals of the Microsoft's Imagine Cup.
Yeah. Basically, Imagine Cup has been a long-running event where they get students and youth to share their ideas on what they can do with Microsoft technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And Malaysia has always been in the top 10, top 20 in the region.
Right.
And as far as I know, if I remember correctly, one Malaysian team went to the World Finals a couple of years ago. And they won, I think, third place or some other award. Yeah. So this is good, great for us because we're back at the World Finals.
Yeah. And this is back with a local kind of story or a local kind of...
It's a game, actually.
Video game.
Yeah,
right.
It's okay. something new for us because previously it was another innovation. So, okay, it's another science thing that drives Microsoft. Well, they move forward with Microsoft devices and so on. But this is a game. And Malaysia, as we all know, is a growing hub for video game for the indie video game market.
Mm-hmm.
So they going there saying, hey, look, we're going to use this game that we've made and compete in the World Finals. And the story is really interesting, using folklore, local folklore from East Malaysia. Yeah.
See, the local stories are the one that we should, you know, spread it out, and you know, it will go global because it's unique in that.
Correct.
Sense.
But the thing is, they weren't the main winners for the local competition, Imagine Cup, but yet they qualified for regional and they beat regional and went to the World Finals.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really cool because you mentioned unique stories, right? The stories that they're using is not even the of the normal kind. It's the scary one with all the local ghosts and ghouls and stuff. Yeah, so it's a thriller horror game, made for the Microsoft devices.
Wow, I'm keen to play the game now. You know,
I'm not a horror man. So.
No, come on. Then we will do one game time where we just talk about horror games.
You should bring my girlfriend in. She's a horror person, not me.
Now, but what do the winners get though from the Imagine Cup?
They actually get they get two things. One, they get cash prize,
okay,
and devices. And on top of that, they have a chance to actually get investment to actually bring the game forward and make it into commercial.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And we will hear more about this very soon, I guess.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. I'm speaking to Victor Yap from Amans.net, and we are going through some of the highlights that's happened in the IT consumer space over the last month. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sando, and I'm joined together with Victor Yap from Amans.net, and we are rounding up the world of consumer tech in a way for the month of July. And today marks the day where, you know, you probably would be able to get Windows 10, hopefully.
Maybe in the one of the 1 billion, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, but it is a Windows 10 day today.
Correct.
So you came up with a story on Amans.net 10 hit combos.
Yeah, well,
the 10 things you need to know.
Correct. But I figured it's going to be a listing, right?
Yeah.
So it's come up with a cookie name that people remember eventually.
Okay, so let's go through what are some of this. Maybe not all 10 of it.
Yeah.
Maybe what some of the things that really caught your attention about Windows 10.
Well, basically the most important would be the start button.
Yeah.
It finally comes back to the game, right? Because the Windows 8, when it came out, there was no start button. Mm. There was a start screen, and it scared a lot of people. Because when you click the Windows button on the device or on the keyboard, because there's no button anymore on the desktop, it will fire up this huge screen, right, with all the tiles and everything. It confuses people. And Windows 8.1 has brought back the start button literally onto the desktop, but it still fires up the start screen. So people are a bit still wary of moving to Windows 8 and 8.1. With Windows 10, though, they're bringing back the full desktop experience with the start button and the start bar. So the start screen is, it's there, but it's not as pervasive as it would be.
So now it's not the main screen that you would see
anymore. Correct.
Right?
You boot right back into the desktop. You have your favorite desktop screen. You have your start button and the start bar. But they integrate part of the start screen onto the start bar. So you see the live tiles happening on the start bar.
Okay. Which then you mentioned a bit about booting straight into desktop mode. That's
correct,
like
one of the second
points.
Correct.
That
as I said just now, basically, you know, back in the day, Windows 95, Windows Vista, when you load up, you straight away go into the desktop screen, right? But in Windows 8, you go into the start screen with all the tiles. Again, the confusing thing for most users. 8.1 actually allows you to boot into desktop mode directly, but you have to go through maybe 4 or 5 steps to get it to work.
Mm.
But for Windows 10, you go back into the desktop immediately when you boot. So that's a welcome return of a favorite feature.
The familiarity of it.
Yeah,
right?
You just want to
be familiar with all these kind of things.
Correct.
The sudden change just kind of shocked everyone.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, to quote a Microsoft rival, right? It just works. You turn it on and it just works.
It just works.
That's what you want. Mm. Yeah.
And Curse of Being Free was the other.
That was the biggest controversy for Microsoft, because when they announced Windows 10, they said, okay, Windows 7 and Windows 8 users and 8.1 users will be able to get Windows 10 for free within the first year of launch. That means when they announced, okay, today, not today per se, I mean, yes, probably today, until the following year, you get to upgrade your software from Windows 7 or 8.1 to Windows 10 for free. And it's a one-time thing. That means you don't have to pay for any subscription or licenses or whatever. If you're on Vista or XP, well, too bad.
Too bad.
Yeah, you have to buy the new license. The problem was, when they announced this free campaign, they said, oh, anyone on a pirated copy can also become a legit user, legit candidate for Windows 10 for free. Then when the media started asking, are you sure? Then they retracted the statement and said, you can upgrade to Windows 10 for free, but there will be security measures that will alert you that this is a non-legit copy. Maybe they would shut down your PC in 2 hours, like what they did in Vista before. Mm. Or maybe they might put a notice there on the bottom right. It is not legit and
copy.
Stuff like that. Yeah, and the last thing which is critical is that this one I can confirm. If you're a non-Linchy Copy user of Windows 10, you're not qualified for any security updates. Mm. So you'll be open to all the malware and hacking stuff, right? And you don't want to be caught in that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was very back and forth bouncing free issue.
Correct. And then just recently, they just had this another mix up where Windows 10, some testers are on the Windows Insider program. Basically, they get Windows 10 updates, the beta stuff, whenever there's a new release. So they qualify for the Win 10 final build. Problem is, if they leave the program, they don't get the full license because it's a beta thing, right? So that means after Win 10 is launched today, there'll be more updates coming every few weeks. Mm-hmm. And they qualify. These users qualify for the updates to actually test and make sure there's no bugs and everything. So those on the Windows Insider program technically get free Windows 10.
But they get free beta.
Yeah, correct. So if they leave the program, they don't get it anymore. So that means once they leave, they must get a legit license. Yeah. So confusing.
Very confusing.
That's right.
I think because they probably realized that suddenly there's just, too many people running Windows. I think they realize now the number of people running Windows. Pirated or non-pirated devices, you realize.
Well, of course, they would officially want people to use the legit copies.
Yeah. Which I think this is why they actually sort of tried and made this statement and then probably, had this whole...
Yeah, it's very messy, especially now with social media, right? Mm. They announced,
everyone started going on for
free. Yeah, and then they go like, they start sharing, right? Before they could even retract the statement, it just went viral. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, OnePlus 2 was out yesterday. This is the longest, awaited, not-so-secret flagship devices because it's been leaked out so many
times. And it's done in purposely done by the OnePlus people.
Which is very smart of them anyways. What do you think about the phone? So first impressions just on, reviews that you've seen.
Well, I've only seen it on the videos, web, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not on the launch category like some of the other countries. But from what I see, I like the whole concept of a high end spec device. I can't comment on the thinness because I've not seen it. But I've seen it use OnePlus One.
Yeah.
And the sandblasted backplate was perfect for me.
Yeah.
So to see that as a return in OnePlus 2, that's just great. Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know. So I looked at the image. Mm. The first thing that caught my attention is the front. It looked a lot like the first Galaxy S1.
Yeah.
Because the way of the home button is. I just felt that, this is something familiar that I've seen before. And I felt that the back, though, the camera positioning is a bit too low. I don't know. I think they're trying to... So when you take a picture, right?
Yep.
You always have to aim your camera lower than your eye.
Aim and everything, right?
To get it into position, right? Yeah. Because your camera is always positioned at the top of your phone. I think they realized that, you can actually just put the phone eye level and you can get the picture that you want to take because the camera position of the rear camera at the back is actually positioned very low towards near where normally your side home button, if you have a volume button at the side of your phone, right? It's exactly at that level where your camera button is. So normally at the back of your phone, you have a logo, maybe like an LG or a Huawei logo at the back, right? Yeah. That is where now your camera is. So it's a bit too low, but I think there's a reason for it, which we need to try it out when we get the phone.
Correct,
To see why is it lower than the previous phones. Even the OnePlus One wasn't as low as it was.
Maybe that's why you mentioned this now, that it's on eye level, right?
Yeah.
So it's on the same level as the shutter button.
Yeah.
So that you can actually take it
exactly
visually.
But
I don't know. I mean, since you pointed it out, I feel like, you're right. There's a bit of a misconstrued of design there, right?
But we won't know. Maybe it's done on purpose.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
It could be. So I guess we only will know when we do get the phone.
Yeah.
Which we have no idea yet when.
Unless you're on the invite list. Because I know I'm not on the
invite
list.
I'm not on the invite list as well. We got to check out. We got to go on the OnePlus forums and, we got to, ask around a few people,
How to get on the invite list. Because I went to the OnePlus website.
Mm.
the invitation queue is in the 200,000, 300,000 is crazy. No.
Yeah. That just sounds like a disaster for me to get the phone now if it's like 100,000 people is queuing up for the phone.
Yeah.
Anyway, some shout outs for happenings of this weekend coming weekend.
Actually, there's two. Mm-hmm. The first one is this weekend. Monster Hunter Malaysia, it's a Facebook group. They're organizing this gathering event at, hang on, let me look for the, yeah, they're organizing a gathering event at Hot Stuff Sandwich Shop. That's at SS22, Taman Sarjaya, it's actually close by.
Hmm.
Yeah, so basically, you pay a on-day entrance fee of 30 ringgit, but if you register before the weekend, mm-hmm. you get 20 ringgit entrance fee, so $10 discount.
Alright.
10 ringgit discount, yeah. And basically, you get there and you play and meet with like-minded people of Monster Hunter,
right.
Engage in epic raids, stand for chance to win prizes for lucky draws and so on.
Cool.
Yeah, it's basically a get-together of gamers.
Of gamers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other shout-out?
The other one is in August. It's on August 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's called Visual Arts Expo. That event, basically, it's an inaugural event. It's a new event. Basically, it's a lot like what we see before Comic Fiesta and NEA Festival Asia. So VAX, as we call it, is an event where they're bringing in the guests from Japan, not to celebrate comics and manga per se, more on animation, hence why visual arts. So things like video games, things like digital comics, things like animation movies, anything that's animated, they're celebrating that point in the industry. And guests that are coming in include people like Shoji Kawamori. He's the creator of Macross, better known as Robotech to some of us. Then there's Back On. It's a Japanese group that sang for the Gundam Build Fighters. And then they're also bringing in the Gainax Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys behind Wings of Honor Misei, Evangelion, Gurren Lagann, and the Gunbuster. They're going to debut a new montage video right after the show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So do go to the Facebook to check out the video. And there'll be more surprises coming up on their Facebook as well.
All right. And, yeah. And I guess just, you know, when you go onto the Facebook, you'll be able to find a lot of details
correct,
of, you know,
correct.
How to buy tickets. And
yeah.
All this kind of
actually,
stuff.
There's two more things. Actually, three. Mm. The tickets now is 25 ringgit.
That's a steal.
Yeah, for 2 days. Mm. If you go there on site, it's 30 ringgit. It's a Mind exhibition where Big Bad Wolf was.
Mm-hmm.
So people shouldn't complain. It's pretty far, right? Well, if you sign up for Uber now, new user, you get 40 ringgit free credit to go to the event and back. So it's
nice.
One way 40, one effort, and 40 back.
That
for
should
both
cover
days.
Your trip.
Yeah,
really,
yeah. Right. And last thing is, there is actually a stage where you can, if you register, you can talk about any topic you want. Think of it like TED Talks.
Wow.
Yeah, but for any topic for you, for the senior citizens, whoever want to share any topic of interest that they know would engage the crowd, you're welcome to register.
Cool. Yeah. Go and check out the Facebook page.
Visual Arts Expo.
Visual Arts Expo. Or you can just, you know, go and search for VAX 2015 KL. I'm sure
it will come up. That's right.
All right. We're running out of time. Victor Yap, thank you very much.
Thanks again for hosting.
And I'll see you soon. Maybe not for the game show, you know, but definitely for the following month.
That's right.
Victor Yap from amans.net. You can also check out the site for all the stories that we've talked about today and even more. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.